This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We have been told that the Prophet ﷺ was born on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, and this is the commonly known date. Yet the fact of the matter is that our early historical textbooks mention a number of dates. And there is no unanimous agreed upon decision regarding the date of the Prophet ﷺ's birth. The Prophet ﷺ told us certain things that we know for sure. Of them, in the famous hadith of Sahih Muslim, that a man asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Why do you fast on Mondays? Why do you fast every Monday?" He said, "This was the day I was born on. And this was the day that revelation began to me." Iqra came down on Monday. So we know for a fact he was born on a Monday. Okay, that narrows down a day of the week. How about a year? Well, there are some narrations that mention the year as well. There's a beautiful narration in which Uthman ibn Affan asks one of the oldest Qurashis, and his name is Qubath ibn Ashyam, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. He asks him, أَأَنْتَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Are you أَكْبَر? Meaning, what does أَكْبَر here mean? Older. أَنْتَ أَكْبَر, because he's an old, old man. But of course, أَكْبَر also means bigger or grander. Right? So, Qubayth smiles and he goes, the Prophet ﷺ is أَكْبَر مِنِّي, but I am older than him. أَسَنُّ مِنْهُ. He changed the question because the question gave the question is alluding to the fact, are you bigger than the Prophet ﷺ? So he said, no, the Prophet ﷺ is bigger than me, but I am older than him. And asannu minhu. And then he says, the Prophet ﷺ was born عام الفيل. Aha, we have a year now. He was born in the year of the elephant. And as for me, I remember my mother taking me outside of Mecca as a child, and I saw the dried up green dung that the elephants had left. What is this show? What is this show? That he remembers the elephant's dung, which is basically the same year, the year of the elephants, right? And the Prophet ﷺ was born that year. So he's a little bit older than the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ is bigger than him. Al-Akbaru minhu. This hadith is narrated in Tirmidhi. So, Qubayth therefore puts a date. Also we have somebody asked another Sahabi, Suwayd ibn Ghafla, about the Prophet's birth, and he said, the Prophet and I were both born the same year that we were born, عام الفيل, the year of the elephant. So from both of these narrations, we can pretty much verify that the Prophet ﷺ was born in the year of the elephant. Even though there are some opinions he was born 10, 15, 20 years before or after, but these are very minuscule minority. The bulk or the vast majority of early historians said he was born in the year of the elephant. We already said the Arabs did not have a calendar. We already said that they would have a calendar based upon events. The year of the drought, the year of the invasion, the year of the elephant. And then for the next 5, 10 years, they would say 2 years after the year of the elephant, 3 years before the year, until something else big happened. And then they began something else, right? So this was their calendar system until Umar ibn al-Khattab came and said, we need a calendar. This is a part of civilization to have your calendar, right? We need a calendar. And then he made the Islamic Hijri calendar, which we follow to this day. So pretty much we are confirmed now two things. The year of the elephant and a Monday. Okay, what is the year of the elephant? Difficult to date because we don't have any type of chronicles of the Abyssinians and what they did. But by and large, piecing together various factors that are beyond the scope of this, majority of historians say this corresponds to 570 of the Christian era. 570 of the Christian era. 570 CE, the Prophet ﷺ was born. Now, how about the day of the... So it's the year of the elephant, fine. How about the month and the day of the month? When we look at two of the earliest books ever written about the history of the Prophet ﷺ, we find differing accounts. The most famous book of history is, of course, Ibn Ishaq. We talked about it, the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq. Ibn Ishaq died 150 Hijrah. Ibn Ishaq says, without any chain of narrators, he's writing from himself, that the Prophet ﷺ was born on a Monday, the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, in the year of the elephant. So this explains why this opinion is present. He says very clearly that the Prophet was born on a Monday on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal in the year of the elephant. However, between him and the Prophet are 200 years, because remember, going back to the birth of the Prophet is 53 before Hijrah. So between him and the birth of the Prophet is 200 years. And he doesn't tell us where he gets it from, who's narrating this to him, what is the chain of narrators. When we look at the second earliest book, and this is called the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd, which was written around 220 or so Hijrah, the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd. The Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd says that it is said that the Prophet was born on a Monday. Some people say, I quote, he was born on the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Others say he was born on the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal. End quote. Two opinions, neither of which conform to the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Abbas, it is said, also said the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Kathir, the famous historian of Islam, Ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, says that the majority opinion is that the Prophet ﷺ was born in Rabi'ul Awwal, but others have other months as well. And then scholars differed with regards to the date of his birth. One group said he was born on the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal, number 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Kathir says this was the opinion of Abu Ma'shar al-Sindi, a famous scholar of history, died 171. It was also the opinion of Ibn Abdul Barr, a very famous scholar of Andalus, died 463. It was also the opinion of Al-Waqidi, who died 207. Al-Waqidi is one of the most famous historians of early Islam. So we have three very early authorities saying he was born on the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Kathir goes on. Another opinion is that he was born on the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal. He says, this is the opinion of Ibn Hazm, famous scholar of Andalus, Imam Malik ibn Anas, you all know Imam Malik, the scholar of Medina. And the opinion of Az-Zuhri, who is, again, I mean, I cannot explain how famous Az-Zuhri is, 128 Hijrah, and opinion of Muhammad ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im, a number of famous people of the past, the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Kathir moves on. A third opinion is that he was born on the 10th, on the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal. So we have now 2nd, 8th, and 10th. The 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal. He says this is the opinion of Ibn Asakir and the opinion of Ja'far al-Sadiq. Who is Ja'far al-Sadiq? Cousin, no. He's the descendant of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Shia consider him to be one of the Imams. He's the 6th Imam for the Shia, but he's a descendant of the Prophet ﷺ. So one of the descendants of the Prophet ﷺ says that he was born on the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Kathir says the fourth opinion is that he was born on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, and this is the opinion of Ibn Ishaq. But there is no isnad on this matter. In other words, there's no chain of narrators that mentions anything about the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibn Kathir does say that this is the most popular opinion in his time. Ibn Kathir died 770 something, way after. In medieval Islam, 12th Rabi'ul Awwal is the most popular opinion. And from medieval Islam up until our times, it is the most popular. But in early Islam, it was not the most popular. The 5th opinion, the 17th of Rabi'ul Awwal, the 6th opinion, the 22nd of Rabi'ul Awwal, the 7th opinion, he wasn't even born in Rabi'ul Awwal, he was born in Ramadan. And this is the opinion of Zubayr ibn Bakkar, who was the first scholar to ever write a history on Makkah. And he died 256 Hijrah. And then there are other opinions as well. So, to summarize, there are over 10 opinions in the earliest books of Islam about the exact day that the Prophet ﷺ was born. None of them are indisputable. None of them are clear-cut. None of them have solid evidence. All of them are the opinions of early authors and narrators. And to be very academic, the opinion of the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal seems to have much less weight than the 2nd and the 8th and the 10th. Because these three have tabi'un, taba tabi'un. They have descendants of the Prophet ﷺ. Whereas the opinion of the 12th, it is by Ibn Ishaq, who is 200 years after the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, and he doesn't have any chain. So if this is the case, Why then is the opinion of the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal the most popular, so much so that for many of you it's shocking that I'm daring to go against this fact of history, right? This might be blasphemy to tell you that, how dare you? Why is it so popular? Very easy to respond. Point number one, Ibn Ishaq. I already mentioned that 90% of authors who write about Sirah, they only rely on Ibn Ishaq. They just take Ibn Ishaq and summarize it, redo it, translate it, do this and that. That's what they do. And it's a good book, but it's not the only book. So because Ibn Ishaq is Ibn Ishaq, and because he says 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, end of story. No questions asked, is going to be the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. The second opinion, or the second reason why the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal became so popular, is that, and this leads us to a controversial issue, but I don't shy away from controversy, as you all know, is that the first time that the Prophet ﷺ's birthday was celebrated as a public event, i.e. the Mawlid al-Nabi or the Milad al-Nabi as we call it, the first time that it was celebrated, the authorities who celebrated it chose the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And because they chose the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, now that's it. It just spread like wildfire. The day and the event and the custom. Now I have written a detailed article about the history of the Mawlid and who started it and how did it become popular. And you can refer to it on Muslim Matter. It is called A History of the Mawlid by myself. You can just Google it and you'll find it, three parts. And just to summarize, the Mawlid or the Miladun Nabi, the first recorded instance that we have of anybody celebrating Miladun Nabi is around 517 Hijrah. 517 Hijrah, i.e. the 6th century of Islam. So for 500 years, the concept of celebrating the birthday of the Prophet is simply unknown to the Muslims. They cannot, because celebrating birthdays is not a custom that comes from Islam or from, I'm not saying it's haram by the way, I'm saying it's not something that the Arabs would do. They wouldn't record birthdays to celebrate them in the first place, right? Many of you, I know my own grandmother had no idea when she was born. They didn't record these things. It was not something of significance to them. The day and the month and the year that you were born. This is a Western concept that is now modern. Everybody records it. But it was not something that, if you even ask your own grandparents, many of them would not know. You know, it's not something that was recorded. And so, the concept of celebrating it is a very late addition. And the first group that celebrated it were the Fatimids of Egypt. And the Fatimids are a dynasty that are not of Sunni theology. They are an extreme Shi'i dynasty. The Fatimids are the ancestors of, in today's time, the Aga Khanis and the Buhra, the Ismailis. The Fatimids are the ancestors of these groups, the extreme Shia groups. And for a number of years, they ruled over Egypt. The Fatimid dynasty ruled over Egypt. And they instituted over 30-40 festivals. And of course, there's a reason why rulers have festivals. Why do people have festivals? What does it do? Distracting. And economy. People come and buy and sell. Popularity of whatever it's called, a nation state in our times, or in their times, the ruling family, right? So there's a reason why the ruling class want to have public festivals. There's a philosophy behind it. And the Fatimids had over 30 or 40 public festivals throughout the year. Every few weeks there was a major event and festival. And they celebrated Ghadir Khum, they celebrated 10th of Muharram, these are all Shia festivals. They celebrated the birth of this Imam, the death of that Imam. And of those celebrations, it is said, they celebrated the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. This is the first time in Islamic history that we come across the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet SAW. As I said, 517 Hijrah, 517. And the people who are doing it are these Fatimids. And as we said, there's clearly a motive for them to do it. When it was done in Fatimid Egypt, then 150 years later, some Sunni governors thought this was a good idea and they imported this particular festival. And because it was done in Egypt on the 12th of the Rabi'ul Awwal, Egypt at that time was a Fatimid state, they imported it to Mosul, which is outside of Baghdad, it's a place in Iraq. The first Sunni governor, he was not a Khalifa, the first Sunni governor who celebrated the Mawlid, celebrated it around 670 or so Hijrah. So for 670 years, this was unknown in the Muslim world, to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ. And this celebration was done once again on the 12th, and it became a very luxurious festival. And various governors and rulers would then compete with each other who could have the bigger festival and the grander festival. Free meat and free bread and free, you know, gifts were given out and people. So it became literally a national festival. And as I said, there are reasons why rulers want to do this. And so they began to compete with one another in order to attract the trade, the commerce. Just like now, why do governments want the Olympics to happen in their country? Right? Why do governments want the World Cup to come to their country? There's reasons. We need to be a little bit more reading in here. And so the governors wanted these festivals to become the biggest. So each one wants theirs to be bigger and bigger. And of course, it's the birthday of the Prophet. And who's ever going to say anything about that? And so slowly but surely, from 660 AH, it began to spread in Sunni lands. Initially, some scholars opposed it. Some scholars, you know, said, well, if you do it with these conditions, it's okay. After a while, under public pressure, just the floodgates opened and it became a very, very common festival. And you all know my opinion on this, is that the way to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ, if you really wanted to celebrate it, is to fast on Mondays. Because that's what he would do. If you really want to celebrate his birthday, then you should fast every Monday. Because when he was asked, why do you fast on Monday? He said, because I was born on a Monday. So to take one day of the year and do events and whatnot, I mean, I'm not going to be harsh here, but let me just say, it's a really easy cop-out to show that you're loving the Prophet ﷺ, if you do something one day. Real love is to be dedicated throughout the year, right? Real love is to show that love every single day, and not just one day of the year by giving some money and going to a festival. Nonetheless, so because the first time that the Mawlid was celebrated was the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, what happened? It became the date associated in the minds of the people. Even though, and then we conclude here with this section, move on to the next one, even though academically speaking, it is actually a very weak date. And the 8th and the 10th and even the 2nd are more authentic historically, and they have evidences from the Sahaba and Tabi'un more than the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Now, we also know that, and there are chains of narrators back to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, who died 95 Hijrah, so there's a gap, he didn't see the Prophet ﷺ. But he said that it has been narrated to me that the Prophet ﷺ was born at high noon. So there's a gap, but it is a gap in early Islam, so we can overlook it. Sa'id ibn Musayyib died 95. His father is of the age of the companions, right? So we can overlook this little gap, and this is the only narration that we have about the timing of his birth. And that is high noon, when the sun was at its pinnacle and peak. And of course, there's a clear symbolism here that is not lost on anybody, that when the sun is brightest, this is when the Prophet ﷺ is coming out with his own truth. That is when Allah is revealing, or Allah is sending down the Prophet ﷺ, because it is coinciding with the time of the bright sun. Just like the bright sun illuminates everything, so too this Prophet ﷺ will illuminate everything, and nothing will remain dark around him.